Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. I'm very excited this week to have Kelly back on the podcast with me. Hello.
Hi guys.
And the reason I've brought Kelly back on to this podcast is A, because we love having Kelly on the podcast, but B, because yesterday, or at the time of recording, yesterday we launched a brand new HTV product across the globe. So we went live with UK, US and Europe. And this product is our, of course, our new Glimmer heat transfer vinyl. And we thought it was only right to come on and do a podcast episode, talk about it a bit, the trends, why this product's important, and just fill you guys in on everything you need to know about this new product. So yeah, I'm excited for this one.
I am too. I mean, there's not a lot of times that we talk about materials. Like you and I, we talk a lot about trends, marketing, just kind of like how to get your business out and about in the world, where this one we're actually talking about a product or a transfer and how it can really kind of put people back into the unique status of HTV. We've got texture and dimension that we've been talking about for years, but I am so excited to see this product kind of come back with some glitter or shimmer. And it's like a subtle but powerful, I don't even know how to describe the
that's a good description though. Subtle but powerful. Yeah, because it's like it's got the same like level of sparkle, I would say. Like when you look at it, it's really intense, but it's smooth. And like I'm wearing it now and you wouldn't think like, oh my god, that's glitter, but like when it catches the light, it's got that like sheen and the like water reflection look off of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I love about the product the most is like it's not in your face. And for a lot of people that, you know, they have that hesitation about glitter, they have the hesitation about cutting it and weeding it, the abrasive front of, you know, say glitter flake on any front garment where your arm might slide by it, where this one is extremely, extremely smooth. It's not going to be smooth like a gel or a gloss type of material, but the overall texture isn't going to be bumpy. And that's one thing I think is the easiest way. Somebody asked yesterday on our live if it was matte. And I thought that was actually a really good description of it once I started kind of thinking about how to describe this texture. We talked about a glitter dust versus glitter flakes, and then just kind of putting the mentality that it is more of a matte finish. I was like, you know what? I think that's it. I think that's a great way to describe it. So if you are listening to this, Molly is actually, I can see it. She's peeling off the carrier of some glimmer.
I'm still so sorry if everyone listening on audio, but I just wanted to give all the viewers a comparison as to how it looks with and without the carrier, because it's so different, isn't it? We've got all the offcuts from the live.
Yeah, it really is though. That's the biggest thing. And we even did a comparison from glimmer to glitter flake, because of course questions came up yesterday of what's the biggest difference? Can you layer it? How is it to weed? How is it to cut? And those are all very valid questions, especially if you are wanting to either incorporate a glitter material back into your business, or you're wanting to transition and say update from glitter flake to going into glimmer. And if you are a glitter flake user, there is nothing wrong with still continuing to use glitter flake. And in fact, you could probably mix both of these medias and have a little bit of different texture and dimension in your art.
This blue is my favorite. I look at it.
It's beautiful. It really is.
It's stunning. I think this is my favorite because not only does it pop on black, like if you were wearing like the denim, for everyone listening to this podcast, I do apologize because you need to head on to YouTube and watch this one because we have examples here. But the blue on this jacket, like look how good that is. That just pops so nicely. And yeah, I think that and the comparison that one of our team made here the day before the live, when they first like got to touch it and feel it, was that it did almost have a bit of like a water-like reflection to it,
yeah.
Which is my favorite way of describing how this like shimmers almost.
What was your, did you cut your material or did you have pieces
on the live
to be applied? No, just in general for sample preparation that we did yesterday, the samples that you created, did you cut those designs or did you have them ordered and sent to you ready to be applied?
I cut them myself because I hadn't dealt with that material before. And I was like, I need to, you know, I wanted to figure out how to use it, feel for myself how easy it was. And yeah, I think it took me a couple of settings to get the force right, because obviously there's like a layer of color and then the sheen to it. So you have to make sure, like you said in the live yesterday, to get that force right. Otherwise it does pull a little bit, but that's true with any vinyl. If your force isn't high enough, it won't cut properly. So yeah, I did cut mine myself, and once the cut settings were accurate, it was super easy. It weeds like a dream. And what Hagen said on the live from Europe yesterday, it's a 10-second application for a premium speciality finish. Like, that's just a ridiculous time. But yeah, I cut and weeded all mine myself on the Cameo. I used the Silhouette Cameo, and I know that you have the GraphTech in your studio. So yeah, works across all machines.
What, so I have a Silhouette here as well that I will utilize every once in a while. Obviously I prefer to plug and play with my GraphTech just because of the speed, but
we don't have one at the moment. I had to give it back. I'm waiting for new one to arrive.
But you know, sometimes it is nice to just put a piece of material on the mat and send it through the Cameo and it's done, versus you know, fighting a roll, how much waste do I have, going through all of that. But what did you find was the biggest thing that you learned with cutting with the Silhouette? Because there's definitely times where I feel like it takes me 10, 20 times to figure out cut settings when it comes to a craft cutter.
So the first time that I did it, I attempted to cut it without the mat, which let me tell you is a terrible idea. It did not work. I stopped it before it even properly rolled in because I saw it all bunch up and thought, what am I doing? Pulled that out. It was terrible. And then I went back on the cut settings I'd been given for it, loaded them into the machine, and it wasn't strong enough. The force wasn't high enough. But I think that's partly because the cutter that we have here is not the newest of cutters. It's probably only, God, I don't know, we've had it since I've been here, so it's over 4 or 5 years old. And it has got a new-ish blade on it, but it's probably not the most well looked after machine, let's say. So it's not always 100% like bang on every time. So I did have to just I just kept upping the force by like 2, 3, 2, 3 every time until I got to the point where it was weeding properly. So yeah, I'd say, to be honest, the biggest challenge with it was just figuring out how to cut it based off of those settings. But I also think that everyone's cutter is slightly different based off of how much you've used it, how new your blade is, how old the machine is, the speed of it, things like that. And what cutter you're using. So yeah, I think the trial and error, the testing beforehand, is always what we recommend anyway. So yeah, how did you find cutting it for the first time, seeing as you had the super speedy GraphTech?
So the biggest thing was the force for myself as well. I did a couple of test cuts. You know, the weeding was beautiful on that, but of course that was a very small design, right? There's some points to it, and I didn't have any issues. But what I did notice when it came to that, the snake skin, I should have gone just probably even one more point higher in my force, just so I wasn't having to poke almost all of those little guys. And it wasn't even like I needed to take another blade and finish the cut. It was almost just like there needed to be a little stability in those tiny pieces, like an eye, the scale. And once I held it down with my weeder, you know, it removed easily, but
that, yeah, I found that as well. I held the design I wanted and pulled back, but you're like, yep, you can't do that at volume if you've got all of those designs to do.
Yep. And I think with the kind of details that we showed yesterday, like Hagen did this super cool bear, right? And that would have weeded like butter, just knowing kind of like the experience of weeding the last couple of pieces, where I feel like this snake might be more of your short runs, right? You're not going to do that on mass production. And if you are, yeah, then you're probably going to adjust some of your lines, those specs in your artwork, just to make sure that when you are weeding, you kind of have that single pull through. But it does weed completely different than Glitter Flake. It
doesn't tear, does it? It's almost like a little bit, I wouldn't say it's not stretchy, but like it doesn't rip like Glitter does. Like you physically can't
pull it. I think that was the weirdest thing about, or most intriguing thing about dealing with this material, is in, because I had to increase my force, that told me that it was a very thick material. Not thick meaning it's going to be like a shield on your chest. It has some incredible, you know, pliable movement, which I think is great for a t-shirt. It's great for a sweatshirt. It's great for a windbreaker, right? That you want just a little bit of maybe shimmer for the spirit side of the world.
Yeah.
But I think because those glitter particles are so tiny, it almost creates like a barrier. So the force does have to be a little bit higher to break through that. But once it's on a garment, you would think cutting at that, you know, 16, 17 that I was on my Graph Tech, that it would just be like this shield on a shirt, and it wasn't whatsoever.
It's, I mean, I'm wearing it now and it feels like it moves with the t-shirt, like it is quite a soft finish.
Yeah.
But when you look at how thin that material is, it focuses on that, like it's not a thick heat transfer vinyl, like it's you wouldn't expect it to need the amount of force I put through it, like that's more of a like sports film kind of feel in my opinion.
Yep.
But yeah, if I was to put that force on sports film, I'd cut straight through the mat, 100%.
Right? I think that's the interesting thing, is we know we've got some thicker materials, but yet they lay completely different on a garment, which I love. That's one of the things that I love about just really understanding the materials that are available, because just because you think it's thick doesn't necessarily mean it can't work for a particular design or for garment. Let's talk about markets, because I think this is really, really intriguing with even what Hagen said about fleece and what he's seeing kind of out and about. Where are you seeing glitter in the UK?
So one of the things I talked about on the live yesterday, which I'm going to bring back up because I still think it's probably personally the most relevant point, is that people are bringing color and texture back into what they wear every single day. So one of your questions yesterday, Kelly, was, are you seeing this in fan wear? Are you seeing this in street wear? Are you seeing this in everyday apparel? And I think it's kind of all of them, but in different ways, right? So one example I gave was the Taylor Swift tour, and how everybody that was attending that tour was upcycling their denim jackets. They were wearing sparkle sequins. Like, it was a whole thing. And if you went to that concert and you didn't do that, it was like, what are you doing? Like, everyone was vibrant, sparkly. And I love that. And I think it's probably a combination of things like that happening in the world, and a combination of like the 90s trends kind of coming back in, and the vibrant colors that we see from that, pulling all of these different looks back into our time now. And I absolutely love that. I mean, I've always been quite a neutrals person. I love a good, like the hoodie color that you're wearing now, I have literally the exact same one without the zips on the shoulders from one of our brand suppliers here. And I live in it. I love it. But every time I see something that's bold with color or a pattern or a texture, I'm like, I just love it. I'm like a magpie. So I feel like my personality is really being cut down the middle with all of this new stuff that's happening. I'm like, pick a lane. But Yeah, I think it's definitely everyday wear. And I think the amazing thing about products like this is that it can be adopted into so many different markets. It's not just like if you were to think about glitter, you'd think like cheer or dance schools mm-hmm. or Christmas, or it gets put into that section. Whereas stuff like this, because it's a bit more subtle and it's shiny, but it's not like yeah. completely in your face. You can use this with different transfers, with different vinyls, different textures, finishes, garments, and create your own individual looks rather than it being, you know, this is one trend and that's the product we use for it, which I love. But obviously it's different all over the world. And like Hagen was saying yesterday about seeing it as he was just walking around, looking at people thinking, oh yeah, that's different. Oh, that is kind of new and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens for like the rest of this year through autumn, winter, and then into spring next year. But yeah, what's happening stateside? What are you seeing from it?
So I was trying to think back to the month that I saw it, and I want to say it was very early spring of 2024. And here we are in mid, late September. So it doesn't seem like it was, you know, almost 9-10 months ago, but in reality it was. I have started to see a combination of really more and more mixed media here in the States.
That's your favorite word, and I am adopting it. I love it.
Mixed media?
Yes.
Yeah, it really is, because like there's so much that you can do with mixed media, and I know it can be time consuming. I know it can be an additional step, but in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to garments per hour that you can produce, it really is minimal and still very, very profitable to be able to do a mixed media garment. You just mm-hmm. have to be aware. You have to find a system. You have to come up with a rhythm.
Yeah.
But do you guys have Abercrombie and Fitch's in the UK? Okay. So I went into Abercrombie and I look over and I see 4 different t-shirts with mixed media. I saw glitter. I saw foil. I saw one that was glitter and foil, and all of these also had a flat print. So whether it was DTG or screen print or direct to film, mm-hmm. all of them had an added effect to it. And I about fell out of my shoes because I was so excited to see that. Okay, it's in.
I can just imagine you in the store now.
I know. And of course, I turned to my daughter, Brecken, and I'm like, what about this? You like this? Mom likes this one. And she's like, no, you know, she just thinks I have absolutely no fashion sense whatsoever. That's fine, child. It's not what I do for a living, but believe.
Well, I mean, kind of.
No, I know. I was being, I guess, facetious on the idea of she's like.
Oh, bless her. How old is she?
She's 10. So of course, she has a mind of her own.
Into that era of like what's trending at school and what everyone wants to wear and all.
Yes. So she's 10 going on 21. That's just kind of how I say it. But I was so excited that something that I love to create, and I feel like it does, you know, bring impact to decorated pieces, was actually in big box stores. Mm-hmm. And then that wasn't the start of it. I had seen a couple, you know, more and more add glitter, add some type of foil. I don't want to say the Affliction days are back from 2006 to 2010, but I would say the idea of an all over print with pops of foil or glitter or something with a sparkle in it, mm-hmm. it's definitely back. I'm in Kansas City, so I am smack dab here in the States. And most of the time, it does take a moment, right, for an East Coast or a West Coast trend to get to us. Yeah. But seeing it is just the start. I don't think it's going to be a 20-year trend, right? It's not going to be something like that, but I definitely think it will be one of those things where we're going to start to see rhinestones come back. So you're going to see your glitter, you're going to see your rhinestones, but then you're going to add this kind of vintage or sporty feel in there with the flat print or with a twill, and just create this really powerful logo.
Yeah.
And it's going to be of a premium price. Like, that's the expectation in today's world.
That's exactly what popped into my head when you mentioned about mixed media and it being time consuming. And even though, yes, it can be a bit more time consuming, if you have a system, like you said, you can make it work. But if you're creating these premium garments and if you're using premium products like Glimmer and like our transfers, not only are you creating a higher perceived value item, you can charge more for that item. So even though, yes, it takes you longer, you are making your money back from it, if not more so, because you can charge extra for the additional prints, the additional textures, things like that. And not only that, but it also sets you apart from other printers in your area or in your space, because they might not be taking the time to offer that type of thing.
Yep.
And you are. So even though, yeah, okay, you might only be able to produce 200 t-shirts in a day instead of 300, but if you can charge the same amount as you could for 300 profit and for do that for 200,
right,
the number doesn't really matter, does it, at the end of the day? Like, you just a little bit longer lead time maybe if the order's bigger, but for stuff like mixed media, I can't imagine it would be too big in the numbers anyway. It's probably going to be those like more niche personalized orders.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at somebody that is wanting to mass produce, and I'm going to say, let's just talk in the grand scheme of things of 200 plus. And I say mass because, yeah, a lot of times mass can also be in the thousands, right? It really just depends on what type of market that you're looking at.
Yeah.
But if we're talking adding in glitter for spirit wear or bringing that back, unless you are really dealing with trademarks, you're dealing with professional teams, that might be a completely different conversation, and you're looking to speed up the production of that. But if you're doing spirit wear for your school, for a sports organization, for an activity organization, there's no reason why you cannot add that as a media in your lineup. If you don't want to cut it, and you are so used to using screen printed transfers or direct to film or something that is sent to you ready to be applied, then you can still upload your artwork and order these transfers ready to be applied. And I think some people get so timid or maybe overwhelmed of thinking, I have to cut this, I have to weed it, I have to organize it.
Yeah.
You really don't. It's just what is easiest for you.
Agreed. Yeah, I think the perception of how easy it is to custom decorate garments at scale is changing for the better with everything that, you know, you're doing for Styles in America, what we do, Styles UK, same across the whole world. And, you know, lead times on custom garments used to be so much longer than they are now. But with our, you know, same day shipping, you can really turn those garments around for customers like within the same week if you wanted to. Like, it's super, super quick and easy. Yeah. And yeah, adding that specialty finish in there isn't, you know, the end of the world for time. And I think if you wanted to include that, but you didn't want to use like vinyl, let's say, for example, you don't have a cutter and it would be that additional investment into your business, you don't know if you're going to use it that much, then use, like, we offer like shimmer screen print inks here, like dabble in that for a little while. They don't cost anything extra to add, but you can see if people like the effect. And then if they do, you can be like, right, okay, let's invest in this, because then I can do more 3D stuff. I can do glitter. I can do the flock. I can, you know, there's a whole range of decoration materials out there for CAD cut, which, you know, transfers and vinyl, I'm like, my brain explodes.
I love, okay. So secret poison to my brain. I love looking at a design and going, how many materials can I use? Now, I only love to do that because I love to see what I can create versus a one color or a 3-4 color, different textures, different, you know, like bringing it to life. But I will stand there and I will just zone out and look at a logo and go, how do I break this apart? how do I make this like something that isn't necessarily going to be for the everyday decorator, but it's going to spark something in their brain that goes, oh, maybe mm-hmm. I could try this, or maybe I could do this. I think that's one of the most powerful tools, is to be able to show somebody what's capable and then let them take their market, their niche, and adapt what they see to best fitting them.
Agreed. Yeah. I definitely think if you're in this industry, like I fully understand that some people are in the heat print industry purely for fulfillment. They take other brands' logos, have them printed as transfers. They're experts in applying to different fabrics and they get those orders out the door. Fully understand that. Very profitable way to run a business. Love that.
Yeah.
However, there is definitely another side to this industry that is more creative, like you just said, and people have that passion. They have that natural instinct to create something beautiful. And it's not just, oh, I'll use this product and this product. Like you just said, you can look at something, pull it apart and bring something to life with your brain and your creativity. And I think that's so amazing. But I also love the fact that that's what you do in your content, in your videos, even like your personal projects and stuff like that. There's so much inspiration there because it's so easy, especially if you're running a business, to get a little bit bogged down in the day-to-day of like, this person wants this person wants that. And it might be the really cool fabrics they're asking for, but it also might still take you a little bit to, you know, get creative. I know that when I'm here making content for styles and being creative with stuff like this, sometimes it takes me like a walk outside to have those ideas. And like, I can't sit in the office and go, right, what fun, creative, inspirational thing can we do this week? I'm like, I'll see you guys on Monday. Let me have a weekend to think about it. Like, it just doesn't come to you when you want it to. But if someone sees something and they're like, oh, that's given me an idea, people have that natural instinct to creativity if it's already within them, if that makes sense. It's like two parts to this industry.
You said so many key things that I really relate to. And I even... I don't want to say challenge my team with, because I feel like that is maybe a negative word in this, but I want to give them the confidence in knowing that we do a lot of creation, from content to merchandising to, you know, just planning about how to get education out there, knowledge out there. And if at any point you find yourself on this hamster wheel of, I can't get what I need, I can't get it out, walk away. Like, stop what you're doing, go do something that will take you out of your element, go run an errand, because by the time it clicks for you, you will be able to just bust that project out and you'll have this sense of enlightenment versus feeling like you're working on something that you're not necessarily proud of, or you feel like it could have been better, right? Like, go take that moment. If it means walking, you know, around the neighborhood, or like you said, sitting outside. I have about 3 different places in my home that I work in just to get the stimulation of different things that I need. I mean, that's just... But I'm an ADD, I'm an ADD girl, you know, and I'm a creative. I use both sides of my brain, and sometimes I have to just, you know, pull myself out of life.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It really does take time. And especially, I mean, I do it all the time here. Like, I'll be thinking up new videos for the next couple of months on our like YouTube channel or like creative reels. And I have found myself before in ruts of just creating the same thing for the sake of creating something. And I look at it and I'm like, that's not like, even Andy said to me at one point, he was like, that's a really good video. But he went, it's not you. He was like, that's not a Molly video. And I was like, no, you're so right. Like that. Yeah. I watched it back and I was like, don't like it. That's not going out. but it's so true, isn't it? Like, if, I think I can't even remember which one it was. I think I was talking like too profity about something, and I wasn't talking with enthusiasm about the product. And it's right, I wasn't enthusiastic about it. I was like, you can sell this. And I'm like, I actually don't care. Whereas a product that I made that I love, I'm like, look how cool this is, guys. And like the difference in how you talk about it is so true. And sometimes it takes me an afternoon, sometimes it takes me a week to think up the idea. But I love the fact of what you've just said there about how you manage your team like that, because as creatives, it's so easy to slip into the habit of a checklist.
Yeah.
And having someone that understands that creativity can't just be like click your fingers and there it is complete, like you can't beat that, like you need that in a team. And I think it's just priceless to have someone that understands that. So yeah, we all know that we have a great team here at Styles. Yeah. But the more we talk and the more we do this, the more I'm just like, oh, this is so amazing.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. And you just said something that I was like, that's it. That's exactly what we should challenge our decorators was like, what did you just say? It's going to be, you said something about seeing an artwork or like I could do it better or how could I do it differently? Like I did it, but how could I do it differently? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that decorators need to be challenged with on this Glimmer product is because yes. One thing that you could take out of the artwork that you just created and maybe change it to this or a sparkle, or it doesn't have to be the whole thing. It doesn't have to be like somebody threw up glitter on a shirt. You know, sometimes the subtle moments are things that just really have an impact.
Yeah. What was I thinking about the other day? This design right here that I did on the live yesterday, the Halloween, the pumpkin, I, after the live, was looking at this. Did I say this in the live? I honestly can't remember, but I said to Andy afterwards, I was like, how cool would this be combined with glow?
Yes.
And then when you go like trick or treating or whatever, the glimmer sort of, you'd still see it because it would reflect off like the lights and stuff, but the glow would like come out and say something else or like highlight a different area and just cool things like that that you can do. I just, yeah, I'm definitely going to wear this on Halloween. What size is it? It's medium. Perfect.
There you go.
I'm going to have to put something else on it though. It can't just stay like that. We're going to have to chuck some more textures on here. Do you see when you look at this? What does your brain do? What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think you could do like a little ghost around the pumpkin, like in front of it. I know we can't layer on glimmer, but I'm wondering if, because you have a ton of garment show through, if it would just be
like,
okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to be obviously a shirt that's going to withstand the 50 washes and dries, but I'd be curious if there was like a little ghost that you did in the glow, right? Mm-hmm. That way that's the only thing that was popping in the dark. And then I would definitely add like some type of outline around spooky season. But I mean,
around here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for that color pop, but that's just go to the back, man. Deck the back out.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a before and after reel. And we'll do that for sure. Yeah, but just stuff like that. And you just said the 50 plus washes. If it's something for like a Halloween season, it doesn't always matter. If you're going to wear it for like one night and probably wash it a handful of times over like a year, then, you know, you can be a bit more, if it's a personal project, you can be more creative. I do want to touch on the colors before we end the podcast, because I want to make sure that everybody that listens to this knows exactly what we've got going on for Glimmer. So there are 8 different colors available in this new product. I have got some of them here to showcase. Some of them are big rolls, so you have to bear with me. We've got the blue, which I've been referencing throughout this whole podcast. Definitely my favorite. I'm just going to be using this all the time. I love it. We have got the silver, which I am wearing on my t-shirt, which were probably a really good comparison to like the different, I'm trying to do it so it doesn't reflect in the light, but like it's kind of darker on the material than it is when you peel it after it's been fused. So love that one. We've got orange, which again for Halloween is going to be super cool. I did want to do that one in orange, but I reached for the green out of, I saw it glow and thought, just need that. We've got this burgundy color, which I love. Very, very nice.
Yes, that's a beautiful color. It really is.
Yeah, it's lovely. And I like when you, if you hold it up to the light, you can kind of see the different, like the rainbow effect that goes through it, which is super cool. We've got pink, obviously. Excuse the dodgy cut. That was my testing yesterday. What have I missed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're missing some. Oh, we've got
lavender or the lilac. Yep, there we go.
This, one. This is massive. We've got the lilac one. We've got the green that I just showed. And where is it?
Cherry red. Did you already show that one?
Here she is.
Haha.
That's cherry red. She's a fresh meter. Love that. Yeah, you can really see the like rainbow effect in that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So yeah, for everyone watching on YouTube, you can see that. For everyone listening, go back and watch it. What's your favorite color, Kelly? Put you on the spot. You got to pick one.
Ooh. I think I'm internally fighting between the cherry red and the orange. I think the green is beautiful, but we did a mannequin with the orange, and there was just something about it that just looked beautiful. The cherry red, I love how poppy it is, like P-O-P-P-Y versus kind of like a ruby. So that was just a different and unique red to see that I feel like we don't normally see in vinyls.
Agreed. You know? Yeah.
I'm itching for a black.
She's itching for the orange. Oh,
I'm itching for a black. I'm itching for a royal. A Kelly green, and I would love to see a
so satisfying,
like a butter, an ivory, you know. Yeah, like I just good. Those are the colors I'm like, oh.
it needs to be almost like a natural color, doesn't it, to go like on the sweatshirt you're wearing or like those more muted tones. 100%. I think black would be amazing to combine with like the orange and the green for seasonal products. The red is 100% going to be a Christmas product. Like I'm already fighting ideas in my head of what I can do with that. And black and neutral together would be.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, that's what I would love to see, just knowing how colors of garments. I'm a sucker for Kelly green and royal anyways, so naturally I'm like, what do they look like? But those are the colors I'd love to see.
I can't get over how good these look in the camera. Like you can really see that sheen. Just love it so much. Amazing new product. Everyone needs to go and try Glimmer. What else? Is there anything else for us to cover today? I feel like we've covered trends. We've covered the cutting, the application, the colors.
The only other thing that I would say is this is a product that still cannot be layered on top of. So for those of you that do like to do mixed media, or maybe you just like to do a variety of colors and vinyl, you cannot put another product on top of Glimmer. However, you could put Glimmer on top of a product that could be layered. So if you're looking for dimension, you can put it on a soft flock or a soft foam. You could layer it on top of... ours is called Ultra Weed. I'm not sure what you guys call it there in the UK, but something thin, go for it.
That would be our sports film, but we do have it sports film / Ultra Weed. So if people would search that, they would also find it. The basic, like everyday.
Yeah. I think that's it though. I mean, it's a new product. It's great. It's got a completely different texture and tone to anything like we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. It's not glossy. It is more of a matte. Somebody kind of gave it a pearlescent type of look, which in the camera, I totally see with what you were showing, how it kind of has this pearlescent look to it. But when the light hits it in person, you definitely see more of a dust sparkle.
Yeah.
And I just hope that there's going to be more color releases. So,
well, if we keep talking about it, they have to make it. That's right. Is that how it works?
I'm wondering if I can just start saying these colors are coming. I'm either going to get told quit talking about what's not coming, or okay, now we have to make it. So,
I mean, if that's how we get products, I've got a whole list of things I'd like them to make, but we'll start with this one.
Yeah, we'll just start going.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, I love it. I'm really excited to hear what everyone thinks of this new product. I cannot wait to start getting people's videos and pictures of what they're making with it. And yeah, I think it's going to be a great one. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Kelly, for taking the time to come and chat to me. It's been fun as always.
Well, thanks for having me again.
I'm sure it won't be long before we have you back on the podcast for something else. But in the meantime, don't forget to head on over to the Stars TV YouTube channel. Check out their Heat Press for Profit podcast. Check out all the amazing videos they do. And I'm sure Kelly's got a Glimmer video coming at some point in the near future. And yeah, make sure you subscribe to the Garment Decorators podcast on whatever platform you're watching on. And we will be back next Monday with another podcast episode. Thanks for watching, guys.
See you later.